Well, good morning and welcome. And it is my pleasure to welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this beautiful fall day. We are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Nepne, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. If you're a visitor here today, we hope you will be with us often. And Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Look for it as you search for silver or for hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Let us do so today as we call ourselves to worship. Amen. Lord, we know that you are our light and our salvation, and we should not be afraid. Yet sometimes we do not keep our eyes fixed on you. Our faith and our focus wavers, and we are at a loss. Lord, we pray that our fears do not overtake us. Remind us of your constant presence with us and your power to overcome all obstacles. We acknowledge that as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And this is one would like to make. If so, you can unmute yourself and make an announcement.
The Tweens and Explorers, we're going to have the fire pit event at our house on Saturday at 6 o'clock. 6:30. So please let me know if you're coming. Everybody who who was on that list has my, I texted them not too long ago. So just text me if you're coming so we can plan for that. So.
Okay, thank you, Glenn.
Yep.
Anyone else? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you introduce your music for us?
Yes, I'm gonna, we're gonna be singing together and the words are published in the chat area of our Zoom meeting. If you click on the chat area, the lyrics will be there. Otherwise, they were sent to you by email. And we're going to sing together, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. And remember to leave yourselves muted while you're singing. And I just wanted to also mention that the very last song, our postlude for today, is going to be our church organ. I put a recording in of me playing the church organ. So if you miss the church organ, stick around to the very end of service and you'll get to hear it. So let's all sing together, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Unhasting and silent as light, no wanting, no wasting, thou rulest in might. The justice like mountains soaring up above the clouds, which are fountains as goodness and love.
Thank you for that. This is the time we share our celebrations. First of all, I would like to celebrate the fact that we had a successful family feast Friday, 2 days ago. It was very good, very delicious food. I'd like to celebrate Kathy Trowbridge, Haley Boss, and Julie Goss for being the ones that took it upon themselves to be there to do that. We also celebrate the fact that Pastor Glenn's father, who underwent heart surgery this past week, did very well and he is home. And his name is Alan, so we will continue to pray for him. This is the Sunday we should think about heroes. The middle of the week this week is Veterans Sunday. And so I would like to lift up all of those of you who may have served as veterans. I can see most of your pictures. I don't know who our veterans are anymore. I know that Richard Lamoureux, he was a veteran, so we honor you, Richard. I don't know about Paul Homer. I think he was a veteran as well. But thank you. Thank you for your service. We really, truly do appreciate it. It's been so important. There are a couple of unsung heroes that I would like to mention as well. And those people are Martha McCatten and Gil Reinders, who worked the polls this week. It's never really struck me the way it has this year about how very important that job really is. And I'm always pleased when I go to the polls and I see some of our church people there. Is there anyone else who worked the polls that I don't know about besides Martha and Gil? If so, you can unmute yourself and be recognized or not. But I see Paul Homer's got a hand raised. No, that's Rich and Julie. Anyone else work at the polls? Well, thank you so much. I spoke briefly to Martha. She said they started at 6:15 in the morning and they didn't finish until a little bit after midnight. You know, and ours was a fairly easy state to be counting ballots in. So thank you for your service. Are there any other celebrations that you would like to lift up? If so, just.
It's our daughter Jill's birthday today. She's 23.
So wow.
Celebrating that. Yeah. So that makes me still 39. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, you're way too young. Very good. Happy birthday to her. Any other celebrations?
I'd like to say hopefully by this time next week, I will be in Massachusetts.
Hooray! That will be, yes. It will indeed be a celebration for all of us and for you.
An 8-hour drive ahead of me, so I could use some prayers. But other than that,
we will pray for you, Tammy.
Be safe.
Thank you.
I'd like to be thankful for the beautiful weather we've had. And we're having all week. What a gift this time of year.
Absolutely true.
David?
Yes, I'd like to celebrate my daughter Kayla turned 31 this week.
Wow.
And I can't believe that.
I can't either. I remember when she was not yet born.
Yeah.
31.
I came to the church as a single man. So.
Wow. Yes. Yeah,
so I celebrate that she made her 31st birthday. And I love
very
it.
Good. Very good.
And Reverend Carol, I can celebrate. You know, I asked everybody for prayers last week for my son and daughter-in-law in Florida. And I'm happy to report that their symptoms have kind of waned over this past week. And he said that they're fever free and feel pretty good today. I mean, we'll still keep some prayers going for them. And Penny has been impervious to all of this, so it's all good.
That's wonderful. Yep, very good.
I wanted to celebrate that our daughter Juliet got her first job. And
wow.
She's working at Old Navy in North Attleboro, if you swing by.
Okay.
Nice. You guys can retire and she'll take care of mom and dad now, right? Yeah.
Something tells me she'll be spending all the money on clothes.
Yeah, good. Good for her.
Very good, Amy. Anyone else have a celebration they would like to lift up? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer. And on our list, we include Loretta and Chad and Brigitte, Kathy D., Doris, Vinny, Marie, Lee, Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert, two girls, young girls, 12 and 7, who are battling cancer, Raylan and Madison, Ed and Janet. Janet did come home, so Ed was really happy to have her home. Alan, once again, Alan Rounsville, and Sue, who is facing some surgery, that's not Sue Winship, is facing some surgery this coming week, and has Ed been asking for our prayers as well. And we do think of your son and daughter-in-law, Wayne, as well, recovering in Florida. For those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Bud, for Jackie, and for Carol. So as always, we continue to pray for all people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all on the forefront of that battle. And we pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the health of our nation, and we pray for our communities as we face these ongoing difficult days together. So please join me in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, on this Sunday after our presidential election, forgive us for the times we failed to treat each other in our nation as all being a part of your creation. Forgive us for celebrating unloving behavior in our candidates and our leaders, and sometimes even ourselves. We ask that you would call our leaders, our newly elected leaders, and us as citizens of this country to a new level of respect and civility. Remind them and us that you are sovereign, and that is the wisest choice we can make is to serve you and then to serve others. May there be a new movement of collaboration and respect in our nation's capital and throughout the country. Give your people the strength to lead by example with radical, world-changing love. Lord Jesus, thank you for humbling yourself to walk alongside us as a human being. Help our leaders be willing to walk alongside each other, their constituents, and especially those who are marginalized. If our leaders have different opinions and priorities, give them the wisdom to navigate differences and work together to unite your people and strengthen our country. May every leader be encouraged by the truth that your love is always stronger than hate. Gracious God, we are grateful that you love each of us, no matter our status or our abilities. Thank you for walking with children and families struggling against poverty and injustice, calling us out to speak about poverty and listening to the voices of the vulnerable. Give our leaders wisdom to create solutions that empower people living in poverty to survive and thrive, and help us to answer your call to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. We ask you to show your healing love to all the people we have mentioned this morning, as well as those whose names we call out in your presence in the silence of this moment. In your name, and because you have called us to come to you to be your disciples, we offer this prayer. Amen.
Our scripture lesson for today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. In Matthew, Jesus has been traveling around Israel and teaching his disciples what they will need to carry on with his mission after he's gone. In Matthew, Jesus often teaches in parables to teach them about the coming of the kingdom of heaven. He is sitting in a boat on the Sea of Galilee and teaching the crowds that have gathered on the shore. Please hear these words. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. There was a recent story on the news about an unnamed United States Air Force veteran who had bought a Rolex watch in 1974 at the Air Force Base Exchange while stationed in Thailand. He bought the watch, it was a Rolex Oyster Cosmograph, after hearing it was really good for scuba diving. When he received the Rolex, he decided it was really too nice to wear in salt water, and he decided to lock it away in a safety deposit box. And there it remained for nearly 50 years. At the time he bought it, the watch cost $345.97. which was a lot of money to pay for a watch in 1974, especially for a military man. It was just about his whole monthly salary. But it turned out to be a pretty good investment in the end. He brought it to an episode of the Antique Roadshow. I think some of you may be familiar with that particular program that was being filmed in Fargo, North Dakota. And the veteran learned his watch, which was unworn and came with its original box, certification, and a guarantee could fetch, are you ready for this? Between $500,000 and $700,000. Upon learning of the value of this rare, pristine watch, the battle-tested veteran actually fainted. I think I would have done so too. When we think of it, it's really not unlike Jesus' parable about the kingdom of heaven. He tells about someone finding a treasure in a field and he runs to hide it. It's sort of like putting that great treasure in a safety deposit box, like that veteran did with his Rolex. Today, across the United Church of Christ, this Sunday is called Stewardship Sunday. It's a time for all of us to make a decision about how we are going to support our church for this coming year. How precious is our church to us? You heard from Joe Brigham this morning. I'm pretty sure you've received the stewardship letter and the pledge card this past week. And I thank those of you who have already responded so quickly. And I really thank all of you for keeping on with your pledges as much as you could during this time of pandemic and lockdown and so forth. We understand that these are extremely difficult times. With a pandemic still raging and putting people out of work, we ask you to please do whatever you believe you can do. And if you cannot do anything this year, just return your pledge card with a zero on it so that our finance committee can begin to make a realistic budget. But let's get back to Jesus' parable. He talks about finding a treasure, and he talks about finding something else. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Jesus is drawing a picture about two discoveries that were worth selling everything their owners had, nothing held back, in order to acquire those treasures. But here is the important thing. Jesus is reminding us that there are some things in life that are priceless. These things are worth more than a luxury watch. For example, how much would you give for continued good health? How much would you give for one of your children? Maybe some of you are thinking, which one? No, just kidding there. How much would you give for keeping your good mind? Many of us do not appreciate the really important things in life until we lose them. There are some things that are priceless, though we may not realize their worth at the time. We need to sit down from time to time and enumerate those priceless things in our lives and ask whether our day-to-day priorities reflect the things that matter most. Note that both the treasure and the pearl were worth everything to these men. In other words, no matter how much we may own, no matter how glamorous we may be, no matter how high we are on the IQ scale, if we have missed out on the kingdom of heaven, we have missed out on the one thing in life whose value exceeds all others. According to Jesus' teachings, this is the most important thing we need to hear. What is this kingdom that Christ spent most of his ministry proclaiming? And how can we go about appropriating this treasure for ourselves? It's interesting to me that even though the kingdom of heaven was a primary content of Jesus' teachings, it's almost an unknown entity to a lot of Christians. So let's try to get our minds around this important kingdom that Jesus talked so much about. Here's the important thing we need to remember. The kingdom of God exists anywhere that God rules. Does God rule in our lives? For 4 years, many of us have been consumed by who has ruled our country. We need to redirect any frustration that we may have to understanding that God's rule is what is far more important. We need to begin the process of healing our nation, our communities, and our lives. To say we are Christians, we must banish any anger or resentment and live these next days in understanding that we owe our allegiance to the rule of God. Wherever God is, there is God's kingdom. That is to say that wherever God is, there is love, joy, peace, and total contentment. What would it be worth to us to have love, peace, joy, and contentment in our lives? Life is always full of adversities. Life will always have challenges. But with God ruling our lives, living as it were in the kingdom of God, we will be able to face life's challenges with the knowledge that we can always count on God to bring us through. Wouldn't we love to have that assurance? Wouldn't we like to know complete fulfillment, complete love, complete peace, complete joy? Well, we can, you know, if you listen to Jesus. But we have to do something that is nigh on to impossible for us as Americans who revel in personal independence. We have to give our lives completely over to God. The author, Catherine Marshall, was married to an outstanding young pastor. His name was Reverend Peter Marshall. In the late 1940s, he was chaplain of the United States Senate. And during that time, and only after 13 years of marriage, and while he was still the chaplain of the Senate, Peter Marshall died quite unexpectedly of a heart attack. A good start would be for us to pray the same prayer that Catherine Marshall prayed to help her get through that adversity in her life. And this is what she prayed. Dear God, from this moment, I promise that I'll try to do whatever you tell me for the rest of my life, insofar as you will make it clear to me that that is your wish. If we give our all to God, then we will possess a treasure that is truly priceless. Amen. Wayne, are you there?
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.